What's good? You are now tuning into the Man Stash Podcast.
What up, world? It is your boy Polo Paul coming back to you once again from the Man Stash Podcast. Happy Monday, y'all. I first would like to thank those who have listened to the first episode, shared the first episode, promoted it through all social media platforms, maybe even word of mouth. It's greatly been appreciated, and I'm thankful for all of you out there. I made this episode called Heat Check. And the reason why I call it Heat Check is, you know, pretty simple. But I'll ensure that I'll make it full circle in regards to correlating basketball and mental health. So starting off, what Heat Check is for listeners who don't really follow sports like that. Particularly this is this term is used in basketball. Heat Check is simply when a player does a couple of easy shots, maybe a layup, maybe an easy two-point shot, and they've been doing it consecutively, and they're just right on target. And so they do kind of a check on themselves where they might shoot a bit more difficult shot, maybe like a three-pointer, a crazy, you know, layup, two-point shot, maybe a dunk, perhaps. But they do this to ensure that they are checking themselves as far as physically. Are they okay? Are they competent? And can they execute consecutive shots to ensure that their team wins? So you might ask yourself, how does this correlate to mental health? And I'm glad you asked, guys. And the reason being is that, you know, as a man or a father, you're natural presence or essence is to protect and provide, right? And so with protecting and providing comes a lot of things of aspects in your life that falls under the form of responsibility. But all of those things are outside of you. You know, it's all externally, whether it's your kids, your bills, your work, your spouse, your family, your friends. Say if all those needs are met, but you wake up one day, or maybe a couple of days, maybe a week, a month, months, or even year, and you're just in a funk. You just seem to not get right 100%. You're just going through the day in a monotonous, habitual thing of, you know, duty and responsibility, which is great. But internally, you have a storm festering up, or maybe a dark cloud, you know, over your head, and you just can't get yourself out that fog. And you might ask yourself, like, how can you get out of that? Well, where does this even come from? Well, let me tell you a quick story about my son. I always like to throw in these correlations and stories that resonate with, you know, young fathers, especially young black fathers out there, to give them a better picture to correlate what I'm trying to convey to you guys. So 2 years ago, my wife was in the military, Army to be exact, and she was doing a one-year tour duty over in Korea. Now, during this time, you have a lot of things that goes into factors and variables, which one of them was the time zone. So here, you know, during the day, early morning, you know, from 9 to 5 or what have you, it's cool. But over there, it's nighttime, you know, maybe midnight, you know, maybe 1, 2, 3, you know, a.m. And it was hard to really set up a schedule for my kids to still speak or see their mom. But we made it work. But this particular day, I did the regular norm, which was, you know, wake up 5 o'clock, 5:30, might have took a shower, might just did personal hygiene, depending on the time, or constraints of time that I had. From there, while I got myself ready, I would go ahead and prepare breakfast, had that on the table so when I wake the boys up, they can wake up, eat their food, and that's when I can get the ball rolling. So I would do that. I would get them dressed, do their personal hygiene, and send them on their way to daycare and school. I would go ahead from 7 o'clock to 7:30, depending on traffic, get to work by 8 o'clock, and, you know, work my, you know, 8 to 5. I would come back home real quick at 5:30, get the boys' dinner prepared, so that way when I pick them up and we get home, we all can eat dinner together and just chill out. After that, we would, you know, watch a little bit of TV, or we would just spend that time, you know, talking to family members, maybe friends, or just spending quality time with one another. And after that, I would go ahead and prepare their baths and get my oldest one ready for his bath while my other son, you know, watch TV, play some games, or, you know, maybe some arts and crafts, whatever he wanted to do that day. And while I'm giving my oldest son a bath, this particular time, he just got off the phone with his mom. His mom was getting ready for work. And so while that was happening, I went and, you know, put the tablet down. I came back to finish rinsing them off and, you know, drying them off from out the bathtub. But before I got the towel, he asked, you know, "Daddy, why does my chest hurt?" And I was like, "I don't know, buddy. Did you fall at school?" He would say, "No." "Did you fall in the house?" "No." "Did you swallow something wrong? Did your brother hit you while you were wrestling?" You know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what exactly, you know, what is he feeling? Maybe I can self-diagnose or something. So he constantly would just say, "No, no, no." And, you know, I'm just a little bit perplexed in regards to what's really going on. So I proceed to ask him a follow-on question. "Well, why does it hurt?" And he says he doesn't know. And then he asked me this question that really gets me. And I feel as though it's like every episode he hits me with a question where I can't seem to answer at that point in time. And this particular time, he asked me the question, "Why isn't mommy here?" And so my eyes started to welter up because I immediately knew what was going on with him. And the simple fact of the matter was that he was missing his mom. But deeper than that, he had heartache. He festered this, you know, thought in his mind that his mother is not here. Of course, you know, at a ripe age of, you know, 3 years old, you think, "Oh, you're not worrying about those things. You're too young to understand." But his young mind could grasp the concept of missing his mom. And that festered so badly and it wasn't addressed properly to the point of having heartache. And the reason why I festered it up was that I felt as though, you know, I ensured that the bills were paid, the lights was on, the Netflix and Hulu and all those streaming services was, you know, good so they can watch their, you know, Paw Patrol or whatever or what have you. I'll wrestle with them, play toys, whatever, you know, spend quality time with them. But the fact of the matter was that not that I was inept to, you know, handle the situation or alleviate the missing of his mother, but more so that my son was harboring these feelings and thoughts all to himself, and he was left to his own devices to deal with it. Now, was it properly? Who knows? To each his own. He is his own man, even though he's young. He still is respected to have his feelings and voice those feelings and thoughts and opinions out. And that's why I try to encourage to my children to express themselves. But this particular occasion was heartache. Now, you might ask yourself, "Man, that's tough. You know, your spouse is, you know, thousands of miles away. Your child is right here in your face." And you might ask yourself, "Well, how do you address the issue?" And honestly, at that time, and even now, I still can't come up with the answer. All I could do was, you know, console him and you know, let him just sleep in my bed for the night. But I couldn't fix him missing his mom. And so, you know, I really, you know, thought about it, prayed about it, and figured out, like, what exactly do I need to do to, you know, help this situation? And more so deeper than that was, you know, what am I doing for me missing, you know, my wife? Of course, with me, you know, being older and more developed and mature about the situation, I could grasp the concept of, all right, you know, my wife has a career that she needs to adhere to ensure that our needs are met back at home. And although we might want something, right now we have to understand and adjust to the family dynamic, which it was understandable. But sometimes I can admit I had my low points where it was tough on me. Whether I had some things going on at work, whether I had some things going on with the kids, or, you know, anything. And I couldn't have my wife, you know, there for me. And as much as I wanted to let her know, I also had to understand that she too might have these feelings on her end. And I had to respect that. No matter how much I might voice up my transgressions, this is what the situation and circumstances that might be laid out for us. And we just have to kind of, you know, pull up the bootstraps and tighten up that belt a little bit more. And that's what I did at that time. Of course, you know, as a parent, a single parent at that time, I was a little bit high strung, but I tried to do the best that I very could to ensure that my kids, you know, were getting all their needs and expectations met on my end. And then I tried to also overcompensate with the lack of presence with my wife, despite the constant, you know, FaceTimes and videos and pictures. It still wasn't enough for my kids. It wasn't enough for me. And I started to think about it more deeper as far as not just my children's mental state, but my mental state that may adversely affect them. Even to this day, you know, my wife is now, you know, back from Korea. I still, you know, deal with things, but that's more so personally. You know, I come from a military background as well, and which resulted in me acquiring PTSD and anxiety. These are, you know, definitely two mental health issues that a lot of people have, whether you've been in a war zone or may come from a low-income community where it's constant oppression. But we all have a story. We all have something that get us to our low point. And we might not understand or grasp that concept or idea, but we may not know what the root cause of it is. And what my child was abandoned. He had an abandonment anxiety. To the point where he had heartache. Now, at that time, I didn't know what I was going through. But I had, you know, several other mental issues that I needed to address and adhere to. And I didn't until maybe this year, honestly. And even though, you know, with my spouse being here, you might say, well, you know, that's your partner in crime. That's your partner in life, you know. Y'all supposed to be equally yoked. But, you know, as a man or a father, a lot of you may understand that sometimes, you know, your spouse might not be the right person to, you know, go to. Because we feel as though it might be, you know, misconstrued or misinformed. But better yet, these people, you know, whether it's your spouse, your family members, or a close friend or relative, they love you that much where they want to resolve the issue for you rather than you dealing with it by yourself. And not saying that, you know, that's a bad thing, but what happens when no one's in your corner? You don't have that person to fall into because everyone has a life. It's a tough thing, you know, that I would definitely say that it's, you know, hard to address or even to admit, not to yourself, but to anybody, because you don't want to seem vulnerable. You don't want to seem weak. But from your host Polo Paul, I would like to tell you, it's okay. I'll get back to you after this break in regards to how to deal and address these issues. Bow. Welcome back after the break. This is your host Polo Paul, and this is the Man Stash Podcast. Earlier we were talking about mental health and how it affects yourself, adversely affects your family, and it also affects your friends as well. Or just all those who surround you. Could be co-workers, could be acquaintances, could be a newfound partner. I mean, anyone that enters or is an intimate part of your life. And one of those solutions that you could, you know, work on is communication. Just like this podcast, I started it simply to be a part of the betterment of man, let alone fatherhood. And I know for me, I need to kind of, you know, dump a lot of my thoughts because it's constantly revolving around either processing a whole ton of knowledge and regurgitating it or analyzing it. Just information of all types of sorts. But for me, the best way to get some type of clarity, a little bit of, you know, resolve, or just to kind of woosah, I gotta talk things through. So this podcast is actually a little bit therapeutic for me. But one of the things that I realized that I needed to do was to really address my issues and really unpackage them, get to the root of these issues that have come awry in my life and have affected my life in many aspects. And so I started to go to a licensed therapist and really just unravel a lot of the issues and things that I've, you know, come through my life. And it has given me a sense of understanding. It gave me a sense of maturity and a peace of mind, because when you're dealing with these things alone, you don't want to turn to anyone because you don't want to seem vulnerable. And then you don't want to be misunderstood. And the biggest thing for men is that we don't want to be taken advantage of, because these are these times where we are our most vulnerable. And, you know, say in the midst of an argument or a fight, you don't want these vulnerable moments where you've opened up and communicated, do a complete 180. And be used against you. And not saying that would happen for me per se, but a lot of men are very protective of just their mental. But we're so protective that we won't even open up to ourselves or to someone that can actually help. So if you're that type of person where you don't want to divulge any type of information, emotions, or disseminate anything that may be deemed vulnerable to you, I would highly suggest and recommend going to a licensed therapist. Everything is completely disclosed, confidential, and it's very intimate in regards to the type of relationship you have with your therapist or maybe a counselor. You could also even get like a life coach as well, that a lot of people don't realize that's out there. And that's a huge and a paramount thing, especially in the Black community, that we are used to and accustomed to, you know, just saying, man up, you know, big boys don't cry, it's all right, you know, shake it off, it's good. And it's like, all right, well, what happens when you can't? What happens when you're so frustrated with yourself that you start to, you know, move in erratic behavior? You get these immature impulses, and we get into an endless cycle of just perpetual self-destruction and self-infliction. And not saying as far as like actually or literally hurting yourself, but it could be to those who are around you. Whether it's, you know, a domestic type of dispute against you and your spouse. And it don't even have to be on a particular disagreement that one of you had. It simply could just be you just had a bad day. And, you know, it's just the small little things that might build up or fester up, and you don't address them properly. You react in a certain way extremely negatively. And so I would definitely recommend therapy or going to a counselor or maybe a life coach, or try to find like a niche where you can blow off steam. It could be the gym, could be sports, something to expend all of that tension, that stress. But the reason why I made this episode, Heat Check, is so... it's so essential. You know, we are the leader of the pack. You know, we are the ones to ensure that the team wins no matter what. And you gotta carry the team on your back sometimes. But even though if you carry the team on your back, they don't realize the tremendous toll that it takes on your body, your spirit, your emotions, and most importantly, your mental state. If your mental state is not correct, you won't be able to move correctly. And one of the things I would like to address right now is the state of affairs in regards to mental health within the Black community. So, starting off, 20% of African Americans are 20% more likely to have serious psychological distress than whites are. Now, 18 to age 44, among men age 18 through 44 who had daily feelings of anxiety or depression, amongst non-Hispanic, Black, and Hispanic men, 26.4% were less likely than non-Hispanic white men, which is 45.4%, to have used mental health treatments. Now it gets better. 15 to age 24 is the third leading cause of death for African American males. From ages 15 through 24, you didn't even become a full-fledged adult yet. That's crazy. African American men ages 20 to 24 have the highest suicide rate among African Americans of all ages, male and female. And African-American teenagers are more likely to attempt suicide than their white counterparts. And lastly, but not least, young African-Americans are much less likely than white youth to have used a mental health service in the year during which they seriously thought about or attempted suicide. That's huge. And you know, typically for me, I like to be quite reserved in regards to, you know, just my personal affairs. But I can tell you that I can resonate with a lot of these bullet points that I just previously listed. And I can tell you firsthand, like, there's been times where I came to my very lowest point, and if it wasn't the strength and the love that I have for my children, I mean, ain't no telling, you know, what or may have happened to me. But by the grace of God, He has, you know, pushed me and driven me and guided me to find that help. You know, you need to get out that dark place, you know, but a lot of people don't recognize that there's help out there. There's tons of help out there, not just for, you know, men or just black men, but people in general. We are primed to live happy lives. And if you're not happy, something is wrong. And when I mean that is that you have to address the issue in the correct way, or else it will just come back and it will just be a continuous cycle. And the question is, how long will it take for you to say you need help? So instead of, you know, cruising, you know, day by day, you know, making it whichever way that you can, do a heat check, man. Do a heat check. If you need more information, there's a website called therapyforblackmen.org. Now, this website is incredible. It listed all the statistics and information in regards to black men and black men's mental health. They provide counselors in your state that will help and assist you in regards to providing any type of service, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for marital counseling, premarital counseling, couples therapy, couples counseling. They have licensed therapists, counselors, and life coaches. And they also help with the dynamic with your family, your children, your wife, and yourself. And this is nationwide. So again, this is therapyforblackmen.org. All one word. There's another great website called www.betterhelp.com, which I use different questionnaire tools to specifically adhere to your needs and services. Again, that is www.betterhelp.com. And that's it, guys. That is the end of my podcast. I hope that this episode be one where it will bring up self-awareness, self-realization, and self-help, and self-love. Because sometimes we feel as though that we're not deserving to have happiness. And, you know, not just regular, you know, happiness as far as success, but, you know, self-love. Sometimes we don't feel as though we deserve these things, and I'm here to tell you, you deserve these things and all that and more. But it starts with you. If you can't get it right yourself, then go to someone who can. Whether it's you need someone to have a shoulder to lean on, you know, have an ear to listen to your needs, wants, and desires, or you just need to take a mental dump and just let all that baggage out. It's tough out here, man. And one of the things that my mother will always say that has always stuck to me is that nobody doesn't owe you anything. So you best to get it while you're ahead. Now, I gave you two wonderful websites for you to research, maybe get you some help for all those military members out there. You definitely have military one source, which is a great option. You get 12 free sessions. And they also provide for all your needs, whether you're in the military or you're out. You can go for any type of mental issue, and your family can go as well. And they also get 12 free sessions themselves. So you can piggyback off of that and have just constant free therapy counselors. So I just want to say to all my young men out there, or just men in general, that you are loved and you deserve to have love. But you got to ensure that you check yourself first and ensure that you have, you know, that winning formula, that you do that quick self-assessment and that heat check to ensure that not only is, you know, physically and emotionally and spiritually you're straight, or financially you're straight, but mentally. It always start with the mental. So again, I just want to thank you guys for staying tuned, listening, and just following this journey that I've created. And I'm definitely blessed to have the support that I've had with not only my first episode, but this one as well. So thanks and kudos to you. Again, salute to you kings and queens out there. Stay blessed, and I catch you on the next episode next Monday. God bless. I'm out. Bye.
I love you, Daddy.